Okay, people, I know it's very silly with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of you that I'm on a microphone, but I kind of rather be on a microphone than be in a mask over there, so because it gets kind of annoying after a while. And my voice doesn't carry very well anyway, so. Plus, it's being recorded, so. That's true. I actually totally forgot about that part, so thank you for for saving the podcast listeners. Hopefully there's some out there in the ether that listen. But I'm glad we're sort of back in our regular go of things, even though the rain has cast a shadow over this week. I know when I saw the weather earlier today, I was like, oh my gosh, do we need to cancel? But it seems like it kind of broke up a little bit. The whole staff was making fun of me because I was like, do we need to cancel tonight? Because no one in San Antonio likes to go out in the rain. So I was like, is anyone going to come anyway? But y'all are here, so I'm glad. And Aaron, who leads our music ministry, will not cancel for anything. And he makes fun of me because we're both from the Midwest, so we should both be. I am, but I've lived in Texas too long. But I know. I know. Well, up north we have the salt trucks, you know, but rain is whatever. But I'm glad y'all came. I'm glad you braved the the rain, although hopefully it wasn't too bad as you were coming in. I might try to get us out a little early, just so you're not having to drive through a ton more rain on the way home. But anyway, how are y'all? We'll have sort of a more informal small group discussion tonight. I figured that's what we would do, but our topic tonight kind of lends itself to that anyway, so I'm excited for that. But how are y'all doing? Are y'all doing well? Eh. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. So, but first of all, this is nothing to do with anything. Can I tell you about our new hobby that me and Blaze have? So, you know how during the pandemic we all picked up random hobbies like sourdough, bread making, and all kinds of things? And yes, and Blaze got pretty good at sourdough. When I say we picked up hobbies, Blaze picked up hobbies and I just kind of participated sometimes. That's really how things work. We decided our chemo hobby is we're making pasta at home because his sister got him a pasta roller attachment for our KitchenAid for Christmas. And we hadn't used it yet. Yes, we're making homemade pasta. We've done it twice in 3 days. So clearly we're really into it. But we have gotten pasta from Pullman Market, don't worry. So y'all know we took a trip to Europe over the summer and we went to Rome and, well, in multiple places in Italy. And we had some of the best. I mean, that would be kind of ridiculous if that wasn't the best pasta you've ever had, right? But my sister-in-law got a recipe. And so we've been from one of the restaurants there. And so we've been making our at-home pasta. And he has decided that instead of a COVID hobby, this is his chemo hobby. And so we've gotten pretty good at it. We made a pesto fettuccine, whatever. Yeah, pesto sauce with fettuccine last night. And it was really good. I know. So one day we'll make it in mass for y'all. Yes. It's actually extremely satisfying. Like, because you just feed it through this little roller and it makes it perfectly thin and lovely. Yes. Although we're still perfecting our proportions. Anyway. I know. So that's his reward for when he gets out of chemo every time is we'll make pasta at home. So it's been really fun. But anyway, that had nothing to do with anything. We were just really proud of our fettuccine from the other night. But we do have a few announcements, and I still don't have my life together quite enough to have the slides up because I'm just realizing I never asked David for them. But so this coming Sunday, I won't be there. We'll be in the hospital this weekend. But on Sunday night at 5 o'clock in 4th Street Crossing is the Unity Prayer Evening. And so this has grown every year. This started out with one of the Burmese congregations after the coup that happened in Burma, saying, oh my gosh, we really need to come together to pray. And it has grown every year into a really big deal. And so all of the Burmese congregations come. And then also, if y'all have seen, there is a lot happening in the Congo right now, and they're going through a similar hardship in Congo. And so the pastors of both of all of those congregations are going to be there, and several of like the Spanish-speaking congregation will be there. It'll be a nice, almost like a pre-Pentecost. All of our congregations will come together. And so if y'all would be willing to come on Sunday night at 5 o'clock in 4th Street, we're going to have a time of prayer for those nations, and especially for those folks in our church that are from there, that are suffering, and they have family suffering that are still there. So that is happening this Sunday. And then, y'all, do you realize that this Sunday is 2 weeks from Palm Sunday? And I stressed David out because I was writing the curriculum for that upcoming series, and I got it in a little late. But I realized today, oh my gosh, they're passing out books because it's almost time. So that means Easter is in just over 3 weeks. So there's a lot of things happening. We'll have a lovely morning of Palm Sunday worship, and then we will not have midweek during Holy Week. Okay, so whatever that Wednesday is before Easter, the 16th, 17th, yeah, 16th. It's April 16th, I remember now. Yeah, we will not meet for midweek in the city because there's a lot of things happening that week around the church, especially Good Friday service is happening that Friday night at 7 o'clock in the sanctuary. And then all of y'all have been here for Easter with us before, right? Yes. So bright and early, we will start sunrise service at 6:45, and then we will go from there. So there's always breakfast. There's always lots of good things. We'll have Sunday school like normal, and we'll have lots of opportunities for worship. Hi, Alex. We're having a slightly grander small group discussion tonight because the rain is upon us. So I figured this would happen tonight. But I didn't want to be in a mask, so that's why I'm stalling the microphone. I realize this is a very ridiculous setup here. Yes, it is pulled pork. Pulled pork mac and cheese. I know. I know. It's very exciting. Okay, so make your plans for Easter, y'all. Invite a friend. There's, regardless of how early your friends want to wake up, there are multiple opportunities for them to come worship with us. So if they are early risers, they can come to sunrise service. Or if they want to sleep in a little bit and go to the 11 o'clock, that works too. So there's all kinds of things happening that week. So mark your calendars. Any questions? Any other announcements that I'm blatantly missing? We're going to plan something for Fiesta soon that's coming. I know that we were supposed to have an event this Sunday, and my life kind of just kept that from happening. But we're going to get back on the bandwagon with events soon. So there's going to be lots of fun things coming. But have I missed anything, David? Okay. I need you all to fact check me when I give announcements. I know. David's my fact checker. But okay, so we're going a little bit out of my wheelhouse tonight because, you know, everyone has their, like, intellectual, like, things that they get into, right? And apologetics has never been the thing that I've really latched onto. I know other people do, right? I know other people love that stuff. I've never gotten super into it, but it is a worthy thing to spend time on. And so we're going to spend a few weeks on it because this is also something that Pastor Chris, in his Wednesday night discipleship class, that he has decided to spend some time on. And he's been wanting as many departments as possible to participate in some way in this kind of discussion and kind of incorporate it into our spring semester as we're able. So I want to start a discussion tonight on the idea of historical Jesus. So do y'all know what I mean when I say historical Jesus? Yeah, just chime in too. Say that again. Yeah. Yeah. So we have Jesus, our Savior, Jesus, our theology, right? We have our Christology, right? Our beliefs about Jesus. But there's also what is even outside of the biblical narratives. Jesus existed as a real person, right? Yeah, were you going to add something? Yeah. 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 Right. Yeah. 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 Right. Because we have plenty that we know to be true in our hearts about Jesus. Right. But then there's also facts that we can just look at and say, well, he was a real person that walked the earth from this year to this year. Right. And so there's been a lot of time and energy by scholars spent on learning as much as they can about who Jesus was in history, right? The real person of Jesus. And so, because it's important to know that what we're saying about Jesus, right, we're not just making stuff up when we say what we say about Jesus, right? It's not just a myth. What we're saying about him is real and it's true, right? And we're thinking through, when we have these conversations that Chris has asked us to engage in, we're thinking through, are there things that we know about Jesus from sources outside of the Bible, right? And what do we hear in, when we're learning about Jesus in the Bible, how do we know that it's really accurate, right? Are there proofs of what we've heard about Jesus from outside of the Bible, those kind of things? And so Chris wanted all of the departments of the church, as we're able, to work through some of this material in a book that now I'm realizing is over there. Okay, 1.25. Okay, 1.5. Okay, so Case for Christ. So this is not a new book by any stretch of the imagination. This was, let's see. Yes, it is 1970s was the first edition. So it is not a new book, but it honestly has held up really well for the most part. And I know scholarship advances pretty fast, but he lays out some really interesting arguments. But so it's written by Lee Strobel. Have y'all heard of that name? If you haven't read the book, you've heard of Lee Strobel because he has written prolifically about this kind of stuff. And so he was very much a skeptic about faith. And he would say that he definitely wasn't a Christian. But then his wife, and he starts out the book with this testimony, his wife, he doesn't really explain this, became a Christian. And he was kind of like, oh, okay. Do you, whatever. And then as she grew in her faith, he noticed a significant change in her, right? She was kinder. She was a better wife. She was a better friend. She forgave quicker, right? There was a noticeable change in her life. And so as he was noticing that in her, he decided that he needed to investigate what was going on. Right, and so he had never engaged in Christianity before, but he decided he was going to investigate, and that's literally what he did, because he was an investigative reporter by trade, and so he would write about stories all the time where he would have to investigate and kind of fact check himself, right, and kind of go down all these holes to make sure that the story he was telling was true, right, and kind of uncover, he would uncover, like, scandals in the police department. He would write about crime cases that were appearing before court that week, right? So he was in all of those things. And so he applied what he learned as an investigative reporter to Christianity. So he took all of those tools that he had learned as a reporter, and he was like, okay, I'm going to use these things to figure out what I really think about Jesus. And so we're going to work through some of that material and let that spur on some discussion. But it is way more than we can do in one night, obviously. And it's there's plenty of fun discussion that comes from that. And so we're going to spread it out a little bit. And I think, I don't even think 3 weeks is really enough, but we're going to try. Because we have, including tonight, there's 3 Wednesdays between now and Holy Week. And I would love to get through as much of this as we can to be able to have this in our minds as we go into Holy Week, right? As we learn about what evidence is there of Jesus and who was the historical Jesus, and we go into Holy Week examining his last days on earth, I think there's some value there. And so I want that to be in our minds as we go towards Easter. And I don't know if y'all have wrestled with these kinds of questions. But if not, you'd surely know someone who has. But for some, for those that aren't Christians, it's easy to think that God is just maybe a product of wishful thinking, right? They're like, ugh, that just sounds like a genie in the sky, right? That sounds nice, but surely that doesn't exist, right? Or it's an ancient myth or superstition that we're still kind of hanging on to, right? Have y'all kind of heard, I mean, these are kind of ancient arguments against God, but have y'all known people that are like, I think God is more mythology than anything, right? Have y'all heard people that kind of have that take? Or have you engaged with people that that aren't believers, that don't, that have a hard time? You've read about them? Yeah. Yeah. I have a lot of friends that I grew up with that would say, maybe God exists, but it seems sketchy to me, right? There's too much unknown out there. Or they say all faith is kind of the same thing. Different flavors of ice cream, but it's all ice cream, right? Yeah. And so there's a lot of, I have a lot of friends that have asked these exact questions, right? So how could there be a loving God that would consign people to hell just because they don't believe in him, right? That's a really common question. How can miracles exist that kind of contravene the basic laws of nature, right? So we wrestle with the idea of miracles. Or isn't evolution like a satisfactory enough explanation of life on Earth, right? Why are we, why do we need this creation narrative when science seems to have it handled, right? Or why would we believe in the supernatural when science is so robust, right? Have y'all had these questions either yourself or friends that have wrestled with some of these? Yeah. What have you heard either among friends or among just people that you've read about or whatever? What are some of the common questions like that that you feel like people wrestle with? And some of this too is we're in the postmodern age, right? And so maybe some of these questions aren't at the top of our minds, but especially in the modern age, these were important questions. But what have y'all heard? What kind of questions do y'all hear like that among people that aren't believers? Yeah. Yeah, that's an important one, right? Yeah, we're just prideful because we think our flavor of ice cream is the only ice cream, right? That's kind of what people have a hang up there, right? Yeah. 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 That's a hard question. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah, and so when is the age of they had their chance, right? We can kind of get down to the minutia of that question, but that's really important, right? Yeah. What other questions? Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's so hard for me to even think about.
Yeah, there's... there's tragedy, right? And there's tragedy that it feels really hard for us to wrap our minds around, right? And at the end of the day, believers would say, but you know what? I know God is good. So even though I can't make sense of that, we can kind of rest knowing that God is good, right? But if you're not a believer and you don't know that God is good and you haven't believed him to be good, then that's a big question that you have to wrestle with, right? What else? What other big ones have you heard? Whether it's theological or just like, is the Bible real, right? Like, how do we know that that stuff is real, right? Have you heard other questions like that? Yeah. 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 Yeah, that's important, right? Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he works through some of those things. It's really interesting, right? Yeah. So there's other beliefs about God that are similar to ours but different, right? And so we have to wrestle with some of those things too. Yeah. And one of the big ones, right, is most people would say, yeah, Jesus existed, right? Most people I know, unless you're like really trying your hardest to argue against that, would say, yeah, Jesus was a real person, right? Because we have a lot of evidence about that. But he wasn't God, right? I have plenty of friends that would say he was really smart and he was really wise and he was really nice, right? But a claim to be God is different, right? That's where, have you heard people get hung up on that before? That's a big one. Yeah. Yeah, he was a good person and he had a lot of wise things to say. Yeah. 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 Yeah, normally we'll stop at prophet is kind of the farthest we'll go before we go all the way down the hole of Christianity, right? We're willing to say who's a prophet and then we kind of have to pump the brakes. Because anything beyond that is a really big deal, right? That's kind of our whole shtick, is that Jesus is a big deal, right? That's kind of the Christian thing. Yeah, right? Anyway, so there's all kinds of questions that we could ask. Some of those we can talk through tonight. Sorry to have you offer those questions up, and we're not going to get through them all, but we're going to work through some of those, and hopefully over the next couple of weeks, too, we're going to work through more and more of those things. But before we jump into what Lee Strobel has to say, what questions do y'all have about Scripture, about how do we know that Jesus is who we proclaim him to be? Have y'all wrestled with questions in your own life? Either questions that maybe you've felt satisfied on, and maybe when you were a younger Christian, you wrestled with those things, or maybe you're still wrestling with them now, as far as Scripture goes, or what we know to be true about Jesus and those kind of things. What questions have y'all wrestled with in your own life? If you're willing to share. Life can feel a little aimless, or maybe this is God's plan, but it doesn't feel like it's, yeah, or it doesn't feel like it's the best, right? You can come up with some things that sound better. Yeah. Yeah, is this as good as it gets? That's a really poignant question. Yeah. That's really good. There are days where you're like, yeah. And then those are few and far between, right? And then there's like, this is really great. And then there's days where you're like, this is it. This is the life that he's. Yeah, right, right. Yeah, right. Exactly. Right. Exactly. Right. Right. I'm not going to lie. I've had some of those thoughts lately. Like, okay, we're doing this again today. Right. I know. Right. Yeah. So, and what does that say? So, okay, we can kind of even joke about that, right? So does God really have good plans for us? But where does that thought go if you follow that trail a little further? If you're asking the question, does God have good plans for me? Or is he guiding me? Yeah, right? And that's an important question. And that's something that we're always asking and hopefully being proven, yes, it is, right? That yes, he is good. But we're constantly asking that over and over in our life, right? Yeah. 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 Right. Yeah. 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 Right? Yeah, that's. Go ahead, John. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, where's your good and perfect plan? Right. This seems best, right? Yeah. 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 What else? What other either theological questions or questions about like the integrity of Scripture or how we got there, how we got here in our faith. What other questions have you wrestled with before or have now? Yeah. 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 You're like, that's too easy. Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. When did that start to change? Yeah. 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 Uh-huh. Yeah. 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 Right. And some of that is just spiritual maturity, right? But, yeah. But have y'all ever wrestled with the every time you went to church, you got saved because you weren't sure if it really took the first time, right? I had about 6 months where I was like, I'm just going to raise my hand at every altar call just in case. I didn't really fully understand the first one, right? Do what? Groundhog's Day. Yeah, it's a very Groundhog's Day situation. God's like, we've been over this. We're good. Yeah. Yeah, right. And so that's a really common thing. Yeah, right. And we look back at that and we're like, God was so kind to me, right? Like we we were able to wrestle with those really big questions of am I saved? And then now we look back and we're like, yes, praise God, right? I was. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, I think about that a lot. How do people get through things without Jesus? And without the church, right? That's a big deal. Yeah. And what other questions have you wrestled with? Whether it's about Scripture or theology or what have you. Yeah. If you're going to sin, sin boldly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I like the baseball analogy. That's fun. Yeah, because you have to watch film, right? If you're going to be a professional athlete, you're watching film and being like, oh, that was a bad toss or whatever, you know, right? You're critiquing yourself over and over again, right? Yeah. Right. You're not doing that. Yeah. Right. That's exactly right. Baseball's humbling. Yeah. 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 Then you got the yips. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 And that's hard with especially with sin that has had a pretty deep root, like things with addiction, right, or other things like that, right? That now in order to uproot this thing, you got to go way back and kind of start dealing with how that got into your life in the first place, right? And so that's a hard thing to do. But yeah. Right. Yeah. 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 Yeah, right. But it's hard. That's a big one, right? And that's the thing that a lot of people struggle with. And I know a lot of people that have left the faith, or at least left the church, I think because of that kind of question, right? Yeah. 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 Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. The whole I do know what I do not want to do kind of stuff. Yeah. It happened to me this morning. I know. It's where I'm like, I'm actively doing the thing I know I shouldn't be doing, right? Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it is me that's choosing it. Maybe it's something beyond me. Maybe it's the sin that grows so strong.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm texting myself right now because I just got a good idea for a future topic for midweek, so thank you. I couldn't let that moment go. Yeah. Really? Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah, there you go. Ah. Future summer book study. Very good. Fine by me. Do my job for me, Emily. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, that sounds awesome. You're like, yes. Yeah, right. It's great. If I can work myself out of a job, then that's a good thing. No. Okay, any other questions that come to mind for y'all? Or things that you've wrestled with in scripture or those kind of things? Or you've seen other people wrestle with? Yeah. 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 Paul probably said that too. Yeah. 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 And there's, yeah, everyone, I think most people can identify, like, this is the thorn in my flesh. And then 5 years later, you're like, this is the thorn in my flesh, right? You kind of, as life goes on, you're like, oh, yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Do what? Paul? Aaron. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, that's good. That's good, Shayna. Yeah, those are hard questions. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah, that's good. Yeah, our own sin and other people's. That's kind of all of life is dealing with our own sin and the sin of others, right? Yeah, that sounds like a really pessimistic view of life. I promise I'm more of an optimist than that, but it's kind of what it is, right? Ah, fun. Yeah, that's, y'all know how I'm doing based on some of these answers. But yeah, that's fair. Yeah, that's funny. Any other questions that y'all? Yeah, Hobbes is fun. Well, he's fun, but he's also kind of depressing. But it depends on what mood you're in if he's fun. If you feel like you're commiserating, then that's... Yeah. Political theory like that is really interesting. But also it's extremely frustrating to, so more power to you. Yeah. Any other questions y'all have wrestled with? Yeah. 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 Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. 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 Right. Yeah. Yeah. If you haven't forgotten about it. Yeah. 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 Yeah, that's hard. Yeah. Seven to, yeah. It seems like someone has asked this before. Yeah, that's yeah. Yeah, right. You're like, that was 60 times 7. Yeah, that's yeah. But yeah. 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 Erring on the side of forgiveness, right? But yeah, there's a book, because there's things like that you like physically can't forget, right? That have happened to you, right? So like the author of this book, her husband cheated on her multiple times, right? And was very egregiously unfaithful to her. And so she wrote a book called Forgiving What You Can't Forget, right? You're not going to forget that your husband did that, right? And obviously we know that. Like, this isn't like playground forgiveness. You stole the lollipop out of my hand, right? The things we're forgiving now are well beyond that, right? Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. 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 Yeah, and that's hard, right? Yeah. Any other questions that y'all have had? These are good. Okay, so let's look at some of those, right? Okay, we're supposed to have faith that God's plans are good, right? Why are we supposed to? Why do you think that you're supposed to believe that God has good plans for you? Okay. What about forgiveness? Why? You're like, I know I'm supposed to forgive. Why do you know that? I'm setting you up. Right. Because Jesus forgave. Yeah. 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 Right. What about, yeah, go ahead. Yeah. I often wish we actually did that in church. Seriously. I think life would be really different if we did that. I know. That's a whole different conversation. Sorry, I have a bone to pick with some of that. Yeah. Because I think if we actually did that, life would be different. Yeah. Yeah. Church would be a little more empty sometimes, right? But might be more... I know. Okay, but what were some of the other ones? So we talked about forgiveness, right? We talked about the issue of sin, right? You said sin is an issue, right? But how do you know that, I'm setting you up, how do you know that sin is an issue in your life or that you need to figure out how to deal with it? But how do we know it? You haven't met Adam. But we know that sin is an issue because... Yeah. Yeah. Right. And so, like you said, right, so all of these questions stem from an assumption, right? All of them stem from, well, the Bible says this, so therefore, I need to work on forgiveness. I should figure out how to deal with sin. I should figure out how to trust God's plan for my life, right? All of those things are stemming from what we've read in Scripture, right? Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. So there's this, yeah. So instead of just everything is relative, we view Scripture as this, whatever the opposite of that is, right? This objective absolute by which we measure our life. Right? Okay. Do you realize that's a really big deal that there's just a book that exists in the world that we've decided has so much authority that we measure our entire life based on what it says, right? And when you say it like that, when you're like, well, it's in the Bible, you know, most Christians would be like, yeah, it is. I guess we need to, you know, deal with that, right? But if you say that to a non-believer, they're like, and, right? Yeah. So all of us in the room, I believe, because I know most of you well enough, have decided that the Bible is worthy of measuring your life up against and that it carries weight and authority by which you decide how to live. How did you come to that conclusion? This is a genuine question. How did you come to the conclusion that the Bible is worthy to have authority over your life and to instruct you in the way that you should live? It's how you were raised. Okay, so it's cultural, right? People that you trust told you that, and you said, checks out. Right. Yeah. 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 Right. So you're seeking some sort of truth and you found it to be truthful, right? Yeah. How else? So we grew up with it. It was part of the culture that we grew up in. How else did we decide that, determine it to be authoritative for us? Yeah. 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 So you experienced something that proved, heavy quotes around that proved to you that Scripture is authoritative and that the way of life it prescribes is worthwhile. Yeah. 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 So we're taking in data in the world all the time, right? People and, right, all of the things that we see and hear and experience is best explained through Scripture, right? Yeah. 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 It might describe certain experiences in the world, but. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get to that in a second, because that's, yeah, that's exactly what Strobel is getting at too, right? Yeah. 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 Right. It's survived a long time, right? Yeah. Yeah. So we've decided that it is one of the best explanations for the world that we see, right? It was taught to us to be authoritative, right? That's the culture that we grew up in. Anything else that, or am I missing something? That as far as how we determine that scripture is worth putting trust or assigning authority to, right? Yeah, so you experience it, and Shane has said this, you have an experience that proves it to be true in your life, right? Whether that's something supernatural, whether that's the only comfort that is genuine is what you see in scripture. Yeah. 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 Right. I will say, and I'm not trying to be, I don't know. We had a hard night last night, and I've experienced scripture differently, obviously, through different life trials, right? But we had to shave Blaze's hair last night, and we read 2 Corinthians 4:17-18, right? And this was like, 2 Corinthians is a solid book, right? Like, in general, like, you read through it and you're like, good stuff, right? Like, this hits in general. Paul does well, right? He hits you. But this was the verse that came to mind as we were doing that. It says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Right. That was like, right. So you experience the truth of Scripture in certain experiences, right? And you're like, well, I know that to be true in my soul. So whatever I need to do academically to get behind this is worth it, right? Or intellectually or whatever, right? You're like, I know that to be true on a spiritual level. So now I need to work on how to understand that to be true on an intellectual level, right? Sometimes it works that way, right? So the point I'm making here is that we've all decided Scripture has authority, but we need to know why it has authority, right? And that's part of his whole shtick is like, yes, I want to believe in this, but I'm not going to believe in a fairy tale, right? And we've experienced Scripture to not be a fairy tale, right? And we're not going to get through most of what I plan to get through, but that's fine. Like, we've lived to an extent that we can say, this isn't Scripture, I'm pointing at it like it's Scripture, but if you give a pastor a book, you're just going to be like, it says this, right? You kind of get into that habit. The good book, right? I mean, this is a good book. It's not the good book, right? We know Scripture to be true because we've experienced it, right? But to a non-believer, that would say, it's a book of some good advice at best, right? How would you go about that conversation of, no, actually, it's not just a collection of made-up stories. It's not just mythology. And not that mythology is even a low thing, right? But it's not just stories that make you feel good. Because if you go through, a lot of these stories do not make you feel good. Try to just read the Old Testament, right? It makes you feel horrible, right? But why is it more than, yeah, yeah, right? But part of why it has authority is because it, in depending on the genre of what book of the Bible you're talking about, because it's actual, right? Because Jesus actually lived, and we're not just telling ourselves a nice story about a fairy godmother that came to earth and made things okay, right? Right? But if you're a non-believer, if you're a non-believer that's hearing about Jesus, you're like, oh, that is so nice. What a good story that gets you to sleep at night, right? If you're a non-believer, it's the opiate of the masses, right? If you're a non-believer, why would Scripture hold any weight and any authority, right? And there's been, like Lee Strobel tried his darndest to prove that it's not what it's cracked up to be, right? He tried to prove that, okay, there's too many holes in Scripture that we can poke into it. And he tried his best to poke those holes, and it didn't work, right? He walked away being like, well, dang it, I guess I believe this now, right? Yeah. 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 Right, no, yeah, not at all. Yeah, yeah, it's kind of a new phenomenon. Yeah, yeah, and we're splitting over lesser things than what is in Scripture, right? Right, yeah. Yeah. There's a unifying text. Yeah, exactly, right? And so what I'm thinking through, now I know we're postmoderns, right? So it's more about like, just convince me that it's a good story. But there's still people asking the questions of, why is the Bible worth its salt, right? Did, you know, the gospel seem like a few people came together and colluded over how to tell a good story about somebody, right? There's still people asking these questions of, is the Bible actually true, right? And so what kind of questions, when we look specifically at the Gospels, right? So Lee Strobel, the author of this book, he starts out with, we're not going to get through most of this. That's okay. We'll move it to next week. Y'all are just giving me material for next week. That's okay. We'll figure it out. I'm changing the subject for a second. Have y'all ever watched like a courtroom show or listened to true crime or any of those kinds of things, right? Or any like, even like in real time, like the OJ trial, right? Or some of those kind of things, right? One of the most important things in those kinds of things is eyewitness testimony, right? Now, we can poke holes in eyewitness testimony too, and we'll get there. But yeah, so there's evidence. And the most helpful evidence in a case is if somebody saw it with their own eyes and can tell you about it, and we can prove that that person's not crazy, right? Yes, they say it's the least reliable, right? So the point is, Lee Strobel is an investigative journalist, right? And he's like, okay, if we're going to prove that the Bible has any weight at all, you have to kind of start somewhere, right? So we're going to start with eyewitness testimony is where he decides to start, right? And you can poke holes in eyewitness testimony, and then he tries to do that. And we'll get into that in a little bit, right? But even if you can poke holes in it, if there is eyewitness testimony, that changes the dynamic of the story. Right. Yeah. 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 So that's what, right, if you have, yeah, yeah. So if you have a court case, right, and it's just, okay, and this is the example that he gives in the book, right? So person A killed person B, and person C saw it happen, right? Hopefully person C is willing to testify, right, and say, yeah. Yes. Exactly, right? And that's another example that he gives. Y'all are just reading his mail, right? So is the case made stronger if, in addition to person C, person D, E, F, and G also witnessed it and survived, right? That's just logic, right? And so this is the path that he starts to go down. And so he starts with, are the Gospels even written by the people that we claim them to be? Who are the eyewitnesses that we're actually talking about here, right? Yeah, so yeah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? And his first question is, are those even the people that actually wrote those Gospels, right? What would y'all say to that? Or how do we know that Mark wrote Mark, that John wrote John? There's some. Yeah. John is the most debated, but yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. 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 Yeah.
But we have manuscripts that date pretty close to when they were alive.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And if y'all have y'all ever opened a commentary? Like, I know if you teach Sunday school, you've probably opened a commentary, right? But have y'all ever just breezed through? We have some in our church library. A biblical commentary. This is like all I did for 8 years of my life in seminary and college, right? You open it, there's always a kind of annoyingly long article at the beginning on authorship, right? And you're like, it says John, it was John, right? And that's kind of where you want it to just get to the good stuff, right? People have spent their careers deciding if John wrote John. And it's a really big deal, right? Why is it a big deal if we know that John wrote John? Why does that matter? Yeah. Yeah. So he's an eyewitness, right? Yeah. 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 Right. 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 And so, yeah, go ahead, Devin. Yeah. Yeah, Paul's like, I, Paul. It's really me, is basically what he's saying over and over again, right? Some of it, right? Yeah, so they go through some of that. But, okay, so we have Matthew, right? Because even some of the talk is like, were other people just saying it was them to, like, make it more credible, right? And we'll see why that actually kind of breaks down. Okay, and I realize we're getting into the weeds. But the weeds is where we build to be able to say, I need to deal with my sin because the Bible's real because John wrote John, right? It kind of boils down to some of those things, right? And so we have Matthew, who is literally otherwise known as Levi or the tax collector, right? And he was one of the 12 disciples. And it's, so that's kind of an eyewitness, right? If you're kind of one of the inner circle, right? But what, he's a super interesting example of why authorship is important. Because, yes, he's a disciple, so that seems like a big deal. But he was also a tax collector. What did people think about tax collectors? Did they care much about their opinion about things? No, it was like a woman might as well have written the gospel, right? Because people didn't care about their opinions, right? And so there'd be no reason for someone to say, oh, Matthew wrote that, to give it any weight. Does that make sense? So yeah. Yeah, they're not giving it a pen name like J.K. Rowling wrote this, right? They're saying, well, Matthew the tax collector wrote it. That's the best we got. It's kind of, yeah, right. Yeah, right. So the fact that it was written by Matthew the tax collector is like, okay, well, that's not the best testimony, but I guess that's what they're willing to publish. It's kind of what we get with Matthew, right? And then Mark, otherwise known as John Mark, was a companion of Peter, right? So he was a companion of an eyewitness, right? And so we don't know as much about Mark, the person, but we know that he was a companion of Peter, and we know Peter, right? We love Peter because we're like Peter, even though we hate that about ourselves, right? Peter is one of the craziest disciples. But so we know that Mark was a companion of Peter, right? And similarly, we know that Luke was a historian, right? And we know that there's ample evidence, right, to show that Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke in the book of Acts, right? And he goes through great pains to show that, no, there's just no way to dispute that those guys wrote those books. Yeah, right? So there's all of this kind of ways to say there is not a real argument to say that those guys didn't write those books, right? John is the only question mark because he's weird and his gospel is different, right? But there's technically a different person who's around this time called John the Elder, right? And there's a few people that were like, it seems like this was written by the disciple. There's also this other guy named John that it could have been, right? But like 95% of scholars would say, no, it's basically definitely the disciple John, right? And we'll get into, yeah, John is kind of weird, and he includes different stories, right? But if y'all have noticed, or if you've ever read through anything in church history, there's other texts that have the title of gospel that aren't in the Bible. Have y'all heard of any texts that include that word gospel that we don't acknowledge as scripture? Yeah, Thomas? Yeah. Yeah, Gospel of Peter? Yeah. There's quite a few, right? And some of those are called the apocryphal gospels, right? And most of them were written a lot later, right? And so they have no way to prove their authorship because they say it was Peter or it was Mary or it was Thomas, right? And they're intentionally claiming names that sound like they're significant when there's no way that those people wrote those things, right? And so they're doing that where they're trying to say, well, like, this person was in the inner circle, so we're going to say that they wrote this, when these things were written much later. There's no way to attribute it to that person, and they don't line up with the other gospels, right? And so there's these other gospels, but there's a way of kind of weeding them out, right? And we'll get to that eventually, but probably not tonight. But what other questions have y'all heard of people asking when it comes to the gospels? So, did those people really write it? Can you think of other questions that non-believers would have? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah. 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 Right. Yeah. So what do y'all make of that? And Lee Strobel doesn't attack that quite yet in the material that I've read through, but what would y'all make of that? Well, the disciples were just, or they were really motivated to make Jesus sound like a miracle worker, right? Yeah. 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 What do y'all make of that? What do you think about that kind of question? Yeah, we're actually not that much smarter. I mean, we are, but we're not, right? But yeah. Those dummies. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. There's different places where the disciples will proclaim him to be the Christ, right? Because we even have Thomas after the resurrection, right? And he says, "My Lord and my God," right? And they're like, "Oh, that's a big one. That's that's a big deal," right? Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, not every disciple got grilled like that, right? Yeah. 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 There's some other instances where you're like, oh, that person just had their explicit confession of Jesus as Lord in that moment, right? Yeah. But you kind of have to hunt for him a little bit because they're not all as obvious as Peter, right? What other questions? And we won't go too much longer. I'm sorry. I've kept y'all a long time. Yeah. 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 Right. Yeah. So, yeah. Is it an eyewitness if it was written that long after the. Yeah. And so that's an interesting one, too. So, how would y'all How do y'all think about that question? How can it be a really accurate eyewitness account if it was written so much later? Yeah, exactly, right? So there's this, and we can get into the weeds here, but okay, so we've talked about why people spend their whole careers on, did John really write John, right? Now, different people, or if you're really crazy, you've answered two questions, is when was John written, right? And you're like, like you want to just be like, who cares, it's true, whatever, right? But it matters when it was written. And it's actually really significant, right? And this is what, so Lee Strobel gets into the weeds with this, but he makes it really fun, right? And so part of what we're asking there is, can we be sure that the Gospels, which are meant to be ancient biographies of Jesus, were they written efficiently enough, where it was close enough after the life of Jesus, and handed down in a reliable way, right? And so I'm going to go through this, and then we're going to go, because David's like, oh my gosh. No, I always make David stay so late, and I'm so sorry. Right, especially with the New Testament, we have multiple copies from multiple places that all agree with each other, right? Because there is no book, so the Bible in all of its different components, there is no literature that has as many copies written as Scripture, right? And as many copies written that originated from different places, right? And so if there's just a bunch of copies written in San Antonio, you'd be like, okay, well, San Antonio just had a real hang up about this thing, right? But if San Antonio and New York and this and that, right, I mean, that's a wider geography than that of Scripture, but you see what I'm saying, right? It impacts the reliability of Scripture if multiple people in multiple places are contributing the same material, right? And then these copies, we have copies that are only a couple of generations. The earliest copies that we have access to now are not that far from the originals, right? Which is really significant. Only a couple of generations after the originals are the copies that we have access to before they disintegrated, right? And that's really extraordinary. In addition to that, right, we know that other faiths, like the Quran, right, has not been translated into as many languages as the Bible, right? The Bible is the most prolifically translated book in the history of the world, right? And so even if we lost a Greek manuscript, right, even if we lost one of the original copies of a copy, right, which is as good as we got right now, even if we lost that, right, there's still ancient copies in other languages that we could say, okay, no, we can piece together and put this together, right? And some of the most ancient texts that are contemporary with the Bible, right? So like Alex was saying, ancient texts that are from the same time period don't have nearly as many copies, right? So there were more than 5,000 Greek manuscripts that we know about today of Scripture, right? And so next to that, this was in the 70s, so this is probably outdated information. So times this by however much you want to times it by. But in the 70s, there were 5,000 Greek manuscripts in existence that they knew about. Next to that, just like you were saying, was the Iliad, has the next most amount of manuscripts at 650, right? And 650 is a lot for an ancient manuscript, right? That's kind of, when you compare that to other texts of around the same time, 650 is a lot. Yeah. Okay, 650 is like as good as you could possibly hope for an ancient text. And then you look at Scripture, right? So that means something, right? What does that imply? Yeah, so there was historical significance there. Yeah. 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 Right? What were you going to say, Alex? Yeah. 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 Right. I know. The Dead Sea Scrolls is a whole nother can of worms. Also, equally important, the people that created VeggieTales have a new thing called the Dead Sea Squirrels, and that is their new creation. Donald just came in for the hard-hitting news of the evening, the Dead Sea Squirrels. Yes, and I really want to watch it. That might be my entertainment this weekend. Anyway, sorry to be so unserious about something that is really serious, but yeah, so, right. And now we all have VeggieTales stuck in our heads, right? So the fact that there's an insane, like a genuinely mind-blowing amount of ancient manuscripts of this, right? Donald, I'm sorry I called you out. You just came in during the most ridiculous comment I've made all night. Sorry. But the earliest portion, right, and this is where we're going to end, because I was going to talk about how the Gospels don't all, you know, there's contradictions in the Gospels, right? That's a whole nother topic for probably next week, right? Because, sorry, I didn't mean to spend so much time on, did John write John? But the earliest portion of the New Testament that we have a copy of is a portion of John 18, right? And it's most likely from either 100 to 150 A.D., for a copy of a copy, that is insanely close to the life of Jesus, right? And a lot of the dating of the Gospels actually could be a lot earlier than people think, right? We try to give a conservative answer of dating them a little bit past what they could be, right? Yeah, right. And there's no body of literature from the ancient world that has such a good textual, like, attestation, right? That has that kind of early copy, right? And we can talk again about, well, if we're reading a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of a different language of a copy of a copy, right? There's problems there, and we can talk about that next week, right? So come back next week for the problems that we've now discovered after we decided that John wrote John, right? But yeah. Yeah, yeah, right. And so we're not going to get through this whole book in 3 weeks. That's okay. But do y'all see the significance of what we talked about tonight? Right? It's important that we know when something was written and who wrote it, because that gives validity to that text. And that text, this is unique to Scripture, is claiming some really bold things. So that text that's claiming such bold things, like Jesus is God and Jesus resurrected And, oh wait, you're invited into the resurrection too. It is really important that that text has historical validity, right? And it is a noble cause that people have devoted their lives to figuring this out, right, and to researching this. Because if that text is historically reliable and valid, and it's claiming these huge things of Jesus is God, salvation has come, the kingdom of heaven is near, repent for the kingdom of heaven is here, right? These huge, bold claims, chief among them, Jesus is Christ. And we're going to decide that they're valid. That means we need to reconcile our life with what that text is saying, right? We don't get to say like, oh, that's a nice story, like the Iliad, right? Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. But. Yeah. Yeah, right? And that's what, y'all, I'm excited about this because I just finished writing it really late, but that's what we're going to study from Palm Sunday to Pentecost, right? Our poor staff. Right. From Palm Sunday to Pentecost, we're watching the disciples be like, seems like Jesus is going to die, and then he dies, right? And then they're like, oh, no, right? Do what? Oh, yes. What is it? I wrote the whole thing. What is it called? Yes, thank you. Yes, yeah. Encounters, yeah. What is it? Encounter Christ? Yes, thank you. Sorry. I didn't come up with the title. I came up with the lesson. Sorry. Right. So we're going from, really from the triumphal entry to the church. Right. But from the cross to the church, we're walking through with the disciples. Right. Okay, wait. Jesus died, and he's actually told us he was going to do that. And it's not until after he comes back that we realize, wait a minute, he also said he was going to rise from the dead. We need to think about this a little bit, right? And we kind of think about that alongside the disciples, because most of our time in this next series is spent between the resurrection and the ascension, right? Yeah. There's a lot of time that happens between the resurrection and the ascension and then Pentecost, right? And, you know, Christians like to, sorry, now I'm just totally changing the topic, but Christians like to, you know, if you only go to church at Christmas and Easter, you think that those are the bookends of the Christian experience, right? You're like, well, Jesus was born, and then he died, and then he resurrected. That's nice, right? And then we say, oh, I'm excited for Christmas, right? There's actually a lot that, like, the resurrection is not the end of the story, nor is it the climax of the Christian story. It's a climax. It's not the only one, right? And so, y'all can tell I'm excited about this, right? So, talk to me on Ascension Sunday, okay? The Ascension does not get enough attention. It is an additional climax to the story of the Gospels, right? Okay, so we're going to discover that alongside the disciples, where as we decide that that the Gospels are valid, then we're going to walk alongside John as he's discovering, oh, wait, things are happening just like Jesus said they would and just like the prophets of old said they would. Right? That's a really big deal that we need to reconcile in our minds, right? And so now, thousands of years later, we've decided, okay, John wrote John, and he wrote it really early, and so we can decide that his text is, and I just keep saying John, right, that all of the Gospels are reliable. They all make these hugely bold claims, and I think the evidence supports that it's true. Well, dang. That kind of means I need to respond to that in some way, right? Everyone responds to Jesus in some way, right? But only if you think that what is said about him is true, right? If it's a fairy tale, then you can sleep well at night and live the rest of your life like it doesn't matter, right? Right. So if we've determined it's not a fairy tale and that it's true, that changes the way we'd live, right? Yeah, there's implications for that, right? And so, I've already gone longer than we planned to, but over the next couple weeks, okay, until we take our break for Holy Week, we're going to unpack some more of these things. So we're going to talk through, okay, wait, Okay, sure. Mark wrote Mark, Matthew wrote Matthew, but why do the stories not line up perfectly, right? We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk a little bit about what other resources in the world corroborate what Scripture says, right? Because it's still possible that all of these guys and gals got in a room and said, like, let's write the best story ever, right? There's still a way that that could be true, right? But we're going to look at some things that would say, actually, yeah, Josephus. We were going to get there tonight. I didn't have time for you, Josephus. I'm sorry. We're going to try to get there next week. But do you see what I'm trying to work towards here? And we'll, you know, just see Lee's trouble for the rest of the work there. But that's what I want us to work on. Because, A, that's what Chris has asked us to do. But I think it's really fun to walk into Holy Week being like, well, I believe this is true. So that changes the way I worship, right? Any final thoughts or questions before we clean up? Because now. Yeah. Yes, there's a movie version. Yeah, I haven't watched it. This is actually my first time reading through this book because, again, apologetics has just never been my shtick. But I enjoy him. He's entertaining. If you're going to read apologetics, let it be entertaining at least, right? Yes, yes. I love it, right? Were you going to say something earlier, Alex? I cut you off. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yay, I'm glad. Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, I know, right? I know. Right, I know. I prefer just the exegesis and the church history and then apologetics. But, you know, it's, yeah, they do, right? Yeah. So, yeah, exactly, right? And sometimes I'm too comfortable with mystery, right? I'm like, I don't know, but I believe it, so it's fine, right? Sometimes I'm too comfortable with that. And you have to have some level of comfort with mystery. Otherwise, you don't last long in the Christian life. But it's still okay to wrestle with those things, right?
My dad has a saying that says, if God says it, I believe it, that settles it.
That settles it, right? But I love people that investigated that, right? That said, well, why did he say that? How do we know that he said it, right? Those are good questions. But, okay, well, let me pray for us. Thank you for braving the rain. And tolerating me on the microphone when there's not that big of a group. But let's pray and then take food to go. Lord, we thank you that that what is written about you is true. Lord, we thank you for the way that you allowed the canon of Scripture to come together in such a way that we can have a living and active witness to you. In addition to what you've given us in the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. And it changes the way we live when we reconcile with this text. So Lord, we ask that you would help us to do that faithfully. Lord, help us to wrestle with the text faithfully. Lord, we know that you always honor when people wrestle genuinely with these things. Just as you honored Jacob as he wrestled with you. Lord, so help us to lean in. To continue to wrestle with these things and to do so faithfully, knowing that that only gets us closer to you, and that's the blessing that we get from this. Lord, we ask that you would be near to us as we go through this week. Lord, for those of us that are looking around at life and saying, is this it? Lord, we ask that you would be near. Lord, that you would show us your good and perfect plan. That you would show yourself to be trustworthy, Lord, that you would help us to forgive, that you would help us to wrestle with what do we do with sin, Lord, all of these questions that that we've discussed tonight, Lord, would you help us to wrestle with those things faithfully? Lord, and would you speak clearly to us as we go through this week? So it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you all. There's more pulled pork mac and cheese, the delicacy of the evening, in the back.